Joan Steffen is a mom, a wife, a TV and radio host, and a lover of people's stories. For years, she told other people's stories for a living as a national Emmy-winning reporter and anchor, and then as a host of HGTV's Decorating Sense. Now she's telling her own story. She describes it as a universal one of joy lost and then found. The book is called And She Sparkled. It is published by Tristan Publishing of the Twin Cities. I asked Joan where the idea for And She Sparkled came from.
Well, first of all, I wrote the story for myself. I had no idea it was going to be a book. None. I was just at a place in my life where I thought, I thought when I looked at my life, I had achieved everything that I thought would define success in my head. I thought, okay, I've got, you know, this great job, and I've got a wonderful family, and I have a home, and I have a car, and I have a dog, and, you know, and I thought, in my head, this is what I had envisioned success would look like, and I envisioned it feeling different. I didn't feel as connected to it as I thought I would. I was grateful for it, really grateful for it, but I didn't have that sense of really being able to enjoy it and feel the success. And so on the way home from a vacation, I decided maybe if I wrote my life story, I could figure out where I'd been so I could see where I am, so I could see where I was going, and I could figure out why I felt a little disconnected from what was going on in my life. So pulled out a little yellow legal pad on an airplane and thought I was just going to write down, you know, the facts of my life. Born in Minneapolis, raised in Cambridge, you know, son, you know, daughter of these two people, and these are the stories, and it literally just kind of fell off the tip of my pen. Really, it was just that kind of writing that just came so easily. It's like I wasn't even really engaged with it, and it came out as a metaphor. It didn't come out in the factual way that I thought it was going to. So I had this metaphor that just flowed off my pen, and then it stopped at about two-thirds of the way through the story. I assumed it was about two-thirds of the way through the story, and then I had nothing left. And so I took that home. I put it in a drawer at home in my bedroom and kind of forgot about it for 2.5 years, and then one day I thought, oh, maybe I should finish that story. And I went back to it, and in about an hour's time, I finished it, and that became the book. And what I discovered was that what was missing from the equation was actually me. My authentic self seemed to be missing from my life. I could see the success, but I couldn't feel the success. And what I discovered through the story was really that I'd been living my life through other people's stories of who I was and trying to fit myself into what they wanted me to be, and listening to the stories of people saying, you can do this, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't be this way. And through the story and a few other processes, I feel like I've been able to get back to authentic Joan, and I am feeling it now. If you looked at my life, you'd go, well, she's not doing that well right now, because I haven't got that big job, and we're just living a little smaller life, but I am happier and more engaged than I've ever been in my own life right now. So it was just a huge shift for me out of this little tiny story that, as I said, fell off my pen.
Wow. You know, it's so interesting to me because, you know, when I think of when I saw you on TV and how mm-hmm. I said to you right away, I feel like I kind of know you. It's so interesting for me to hear you tell that story because, you know, what you have always projected to people, I think, is authentic, but it's such a different thing from you as the person living, you know, you were being who you were supposed to be for that whatever broadcast you were doing.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a complex thing. I don't think you would notice any difference if you were looking at me right now, as far as how I interact with people or how I would be on camera. I think you were seeing the authentic me. I was unable to experience the authentic me. So it's kind of convoluted in a way, but I wasn't faking anything. It's just that I was worried more about what other people would think, you know. But I think who was on camera, that was definitely me, and we'd probably look like identical twins today, but it's my experience of it that's different. Because I think a lot of people go through other people to get their approval, and I think that's what I was doing.
Right. you have a job where people see the work that you do and you get people commenting on it, which is a great thing, but it also probably didn't feel exactly like you yourself and was sort of found yourself in a strange position, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Well, if you're talking about the fact that people can be really, really nice to you when you're on TV or on the radio, or people can be really, really mean to you if you're on TV or on the radio. And if you're sensitive, as I was, and if you wanted to please people, it was a really confusing place to be, because people would call in all the time or write in and say they didn't like your hair, they didn't like your voice, they didn't, you know, you should change this about yourself, don't laugh so much. I mean, that was you'd get a steady diet of that, and you'd get a letter and you'd think like, oh, maybe I shouldn't laugh so loud, or maybe I should, you know, wear that outfit anymore. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's just one person's opinion, but if you start to take them in and take them to heart, you can really get messed up. But that happens in life of all kinds, not just on television. It happens in corporations. It happens in education. It happens in parenting. It's that kind of input is there for all of us all the time. We just have to figure out who we are in the face of it.
You've had great success, and I think one of the things that's surprising about this is, as you said, it's not like, I mean, looking from the outside, we would just see you as being a very successful person who always had a smile on their face, and it takes a lot of courage to look at your life and look at what maybe isn't quite working or why it doesn't feel exactly right to you.
Yeah, and I guess it took courage. I think it was one of those things where people don't tend to change unless they reach a point where it becomes so uncomfortable not to change that they have to. And I know that's what happened to me. I just became so uncomfortable in my own life that I had to change, and this was the way that presented itself to me. You know, literally, I don't even know what possessed me to sit down and write my life story. I mean, it wasn't like the first thought that most people would probably have, but I had just become uncomfortable enough, you know, that feeling of, is this all there is to life? Really? This is it? There's not more joy, more beauty, more engagement than this? And the discomfort of those feelings just kind of forced my hand. You know, I became so uncomfortable I had to change. And if it looks courageous, I'm grateful that I found some courage then, because it's exactly what I needed to do in order to reclaim myself. And the weird thing is, Heidi, people have been coming up to me, the book came out, saying, it's their story too. I mean, that was my experience since I wrote it. I shared it. The first person I shared it with was my sister, who was really in the final stages of cancer at the time, and she thought I had written it kind of as an homage to her. She thought it was her story, and I said, no, it's my story. And then I started to share it with more people, and they said, it's my story. And I've had, I mean, all kinds of women, and many men come up to me, and the men usually come up to me kind of sideways and say, it's my story too, you know. So I've found that there's a universality to that idea that you come into this world and you're beautiful and perfect and unique, and then at some point the world's stories start to weigh you down and you start to believe what the world tells you about yourself, and then if you're lucky, you get the wake-up call that says there's more to it, and you get to go on the discovery process of going back to that unique, fabulous, incredible human being that you are. I'm not saying that I'm the only fabulous, unique, incredible human being. I'm saying we're all fabulous and unique and magnificent.
That's Joan Steffen. We're talking about her new book that's out. It's called And She Sparkled. So, Joan, can you describe a little more of, because it's an unusual book. It's almost like a book for kids for adults. I don't know if that's not a good way to say it. But
no, that's a perfect way to say it. People pick it up and they look at it and they think, oh, it's for a child. And it is in a sense. I mean, children do get it. They can understand the story. But it's in a children's book format. It's beautiful and deep lavender color with silver drawing on the front. And it's kind of padded. And so it's this little kind of a jewel of a book. But it's meant for anybody who's ever been a child and grown out of the joy of it. And so I guess that's a pretty wide demographic, I would have to say. It's written like a children's book because I think that's who the book is talking to. It's talking to that child that we left behind who knew, you know, children are joy-seeking missiles. And when we stop figuring out that we start to believe that joy is not the purpose for living, then we run into trouble. This is just an invitation to get back to that, where you can actually feel joy, seek joy, not feel guilty about feeling joy. Mm-hmm. That sounds like life to me.
Well, the first line of it is, there once was a little girl. Tell us, maybe in this process that you've gone through, something, what you were like as a child that you've been able to kind of bring back into your life.
I think it's honoring myself, honoring my feelings, knowing that my feelings are there not to be suppressed, but to be celebrated and to be honored. This sounds maybe, I hope it doesn't sound selfish in a bad way, but we kind of need to reclaim that word, selfish, mm-hmm. because we need to honor who we are and to honor ourselves in order to have something real to give to somebody else. So I have reclaimed my right to say no, for one thing. If something, I used to say yes to, you know, like organizing projects for schools and things like that. Now I would continue to say yes to projects that, you know, but now it has to be things that I know that I'm good at. I know that it won't frustrate me. Something that's within my own gifts, I'll say yes to. But if somebody asks me to organize something, I don't have an organized nature at all. It will just be frustrating for them. It'll be frustrating for me. I have the capacity to say no to it and not feel guilty now. So that's one thing that's changed.
Joan, can you tell us a little bit about your career as an anchor woman and mm-hmm. what you liked about it and why you're glad you're maybe not that person anymore?
I loved people. I mean, I still do. I love people. And so that was the joy that I got out of being I was a news anchor and reporter at KBJR in Duluth for 2.5 years, and then I was an anchor and reporter at Care 11 in the Twin Cities for 17 years. And I love the people that I met, that I got to interview. I loved having a license to ask any question that I wanted to ask of anybody. I just think people's stories are the most fascinating, and I think we can learn the most from people's lives and people's stories. And I loved the people that I worked with. It was a real family at Care 11 specifically on the weekends. So that was the best. And what I didn't like was the focus that the media quite often has on everything that's going wrong in the world. It got to be really hard for me to tuck people in at night at 10 o'clock, you know, with this blanket of fear and say, please sleep well, but know that your neighbors are out there and they're trying to do something horrendous to you and maybe your house will burn. Maybe you know, all the stories we had told at the 10 o'clock news right before people go to bed were stories of, for the most part, pain and tragedy, and I couldn't handle that anymore. It wasn't part of my true nature to tell people to be afraid of their own life. So that's the part I don't miss. Mm-hmm. And I don't miss standing out in 22-inch blizzards with the wind whipping across my face at 10 o'clock at night. You know, I watched the blizzard coverage this last week, and it was like, oh, thank goodness I'm at home in my warm, toasty house.
Well, we were so used to seeing you on the news like that, and then we saw you on HGTV on Decorating Sense, and that seemed like a natural place for you as well. How did it happen for you to move into that? Because those are two very different things.
Yeah. Well, my life has been somewhat magical, I have to say. I had been working at Care 11 for quite a while, and I was thinking to myself, this isn't serving me. I want to do something else. I want to do something that I laugh at, that I am creative. I really started envisioning that job probably 2-3 years before I got Decorating Sense. And the way I got it was somebody invited me to a book club meeting one night, and I had never been to this book club before. I'd never been to this person's house before. I only knew one or two people who were in the book club. I hadn't read the book. And so I was telling myself, I'm not going to go. And then because I was painting my daughter's bedroom at the time. And then I got a last minute call, and I thought, okay, I will go to this book club meeting. And I wrapped up my painting supplies and took off. And about an hour into the meeting, they took a little break, and I went into the kitchen, and Kevin Berger was there, who had worked for HDTV. And she said, "Does anybody here want to host a show on the Home and Garden Network?" And I said, probably not, because I figured it would be a high-end design kind of a show, and I wasn't into high-end pretty much anything. And she said, "No, it's going to be an under $500 decorating show, so it's about creativity." And about 3 weeks later, I was taping the show. Maybe not even 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Wow.
So that's how easily and magically it happened for me. So really, I think life is really magical. If you look at some of the opportunities that come to people, quite often it isn't through their own planning that they get them. It's through other seemingly more serendipitous means.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly is true with me. So, yeah, I was very grateful for that. It was fun. And I laughed, and I hugged, and I painted, and we were creative, and it was great. And we were taping for 10 years.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, we had, yeah, it was a lot. And then it was on for 3 years in reruns, and somebody just told me that the holiday special just ran again. So, so it's been on a long time.
Well, and it was one of those shows that because it had... it felt like you were reusing things. You weren't going. It wasn't something that you couldn't do on your own. And it's always sort of cool to watch people and how, you know, a comfortable, nice space can really add to your life. I mean, it's not just a decorating show, which sounds really trite, you know.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. But people would come and they'd say that it changed how they viewed, because, you know, a lot of people looked at decorating as I did, where it's like you walk into the showroom and you say, "Well, I can't afford that," and then you walk back out and you go back to your home and it stays pretty much the same. You know, it was a show about, allowing yourself to have an environment that reflects something beautiful back to you, and it didn't matter if you didn't have $5,000 to redo your home. We were dumpster diving. We were we were going through alleys in Minneapolis picking up stuff and repainting it. And, so we made it hopefully accessible for people.
You describe your life as being magical, and now this book is out that you just look at the cover of it. It looks magical, the font of it. And so where do you think this is going to lead you now, this story that you've put out?
Ooh, I have big dreams. I and anybody else who'd like to join me, I would like to start a global peace movement. And I actually have had a couple of meetings at my house already of some people who are coming up with ideas on how to find peace, first of all, within yourself, which I think it turns out that the book can help lead you toward that. And once we find a hint, then we're able to put our hand out and hand it to somebody else. And so we're working at it from a big global perspective, where we're actually dreaming of global concerts and all kinds of involvement by big corporations, but we're also trying to make sure that it's a very small movement, because really that I believe that's the only way to spark peace is to find it in yourself. You can't apply it to anybody else. You can't demand it from anybody else. You have to have it and then offer it to somebody else. So that's my dream, and we'll see where it goes.
Mm-hmm. Joan, you were born and grew up in Minnesota. You still live here. Mm-hmm. What is it that keeps you here? I hear you, you know, talking about an international peace movement, but why Minnesota?
I do believe Minnesota and the surrounding area, I do believe we are the heart of the United States, and I think the United States is a pretty big player, obviously it's a big player in the world. It just feels to me like we're the heart, and I wouldn't want to live anywhere else but in the heart. And I love the seasons. I adore the seasons. I make fun about the blizzard and standing out in a blizzard. That's not comfortable, but I love the rhythm that it gives our life. You know, you just live your life in a different way in the winter than you live it in the spring, than you live it in the summer, than you live it in the fall. I just love the rhythm of that, and I love that we feel like a progressive, open-hearted area, and that suits my nature. So I don't see myself living anywhere else. I tried California for a while. It did not work out well.
That's Joan Stephan. Her new book is called And She Sparkled. You can find information at the publisher's website, TristanPublishing.com, or Joan's website,
JoanStephan.com. And all you have to do is spell my name right. And most people forget the D on the end. It's Stephan.com.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you for sharing your story about And She Sparkled. It was fun talking with you.
Thank you. It was fun talking with you.